You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We're back. You are tuned in to the Hour Power. Pastor Kevin Akins is our guest this morning, and his title is Strongholds. Back to you, sir.
Amen. Amen. We're talking about pulling down the strongholds that get into our minds. We have a definition of stronghold. Going to remind you that's what we started with today. If you didn't get it written down, this is where we're coming from. In many different counseling sessions, we begin to very much distinguish that people had thoughts or processes in their thinking that would just actually lock them down, and they couldn't get past certain points. And we called those lockdowns strongholds because they were a strong that was very hold on their mind. They had a hold on their thinking. They could get up to a certain point, and then they would stop. They would get to almost past something that had hindered them, hurt them, or caused great fear, and they would stop, and they wouldn't go past it. And so the title of that just became a stronghold, and that's what we begin to focus on. How do we break those strongholds? So the stronghold definition that we came up with is this. It's a mindset that causes you to accept circumstances as unchangeable, even though you know that it's contrary to the will of God. You know that God doesn't want you being angry all the time, but you just can't help it. You're just angry all the time. You know that God doesn't want you living in fear, but you just live in fear all the time. Those are against God's will. Those are circumstances that you do not have to accept. You do not have to live by them. So we're going to break those strongholds, and we're going to tear them down. And we've been pulling them out. We use Joshua chapter 10, how the five kings have run over and hid themselves in the cave, and Joshua goes in and he pulls those kings out of all these different countries. And you can go to Joshua chapter 10 and read that. We're simply using it as an illustration this morning that we pull these kings out of that cave and put them on the ground, put our feet on their necks, and we stop them from ruling our lives. We put that stronghold under our feet and break it down. We've talked about the king of failure. We've talked about the king of frustration. We've talked about the king of fear. And now the fourth king that I want to talk about this morning is the king of poverty. There's so many people that have it locked into their brain that, well, I was raised poor, so I'm going to live poor, and I'm going to be poor till the day I die poor. And I've heard so many different excuses of things. You didn't have anything when you came into this world. You're not going to be able to take anything with you. Why gather it all up? I get all of that, and understand that. But to me, there's a difference between living in poverty and living in the prosperity of God. Mm. And living in the prosperity of God doesn't really have to do with the number of zeros that are behind the number or the dollar sign. You don't have to live in poverty just because you're not financially rich. God has things to give you that are far more than you can even imagine. He has blessings to give you. He has greater blessings to give you. I know people that hold jobs and they get paid very little. If I told you the amount that they got paid, you would be shocked. You'd say, how do they even live on it? They found a way. Mm-hmm. They have found a way to provide food. They've found a way to provide cover. But you would see them and they're not living with a poverty mindset. They're living with the rich mindset. It's a mindset that God has given them. God deals with prosperity. All things have already been given to you. Live by God. I want to give you two scriptures real quick. Matthew 6:33. You notice that when I bring these scriptures out, we've heard these scriptures so much. The problem is that so many people hear them that it becomes dull to them to where they don't want to pay attention to them. Matthew 6:33. Some of you are already quoting it in your head because you know it, but do you apply it? Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's the key. That's the avenue. That's the way to do it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, before you jump on the bandwagon and say, boy, he's pulling that out of context. Yes, I am. There, you dealt with it. You good? Okay, great. All right, good. Just wanted you to deal with it because I'm talking about poverty, but everybody thinks that when you mention the word poverty, you got to be talking about finances or money, and that's not true. People are living in a state of poverty because spiritually they're broken. Mm. Their minds spiritually, they're living in a poverty, in a spiritual, spiritual poverty because they won't follow after the things of God. Seek first his kingdom. Seek his rules. Seek his righteousness. Seek his ways. Seek his thoughts. I know that our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. But we've got to be looking unto him. Mm-hmm. If you seek him, you will find him. That's a promise that's given to us. If you knock at his door, he will answer it. That's a promise that's given to us. If you ask for anything, it will be given to you. That's a promise given to us. Why are you living in a spiritual poverty to say God doesn't love me, God doesn't care about me, God doesn't care what I do, God doesn't care how I live, God doesn't care what I look like? Yes, he does. He created you and he wants you to have favor in your life. The favor of God is just something that is not earned, not identified, not called for, not asked for. It's just walking in the favor of the Lord. There's nothing better than that. And you can't say that you're locked into poverty at the same time you're locked into blessing and the favor of God. Let me give you one more. Now I'm going to talk about finances. Touch your neighbor. Say he's going to talk about money, so just hang on about it, all right? This is going to be about money. Listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God. That's the key. Remember the Lord in every situation. Every circumstance, remember the Lord your God, for it is he, it is God, who gives you power to get wealth. What? The Bible says that? That's what the Bible says. It's God that's going to give you the power. It's God that's going to give you the knowledge. It's God that's going to give you the understanding. It's God that's going to give you the invention. It's God that's going to give you the power to get wealth. Wealth is okay. God doesn't want you living in a poverty of non-finances. He wants you to be blessed so that you can fend for yourself, so that you can eat healthy, so that you can protect yourself with covering, so that you can clothe yourself, so that you can get the water to drink, so that you can be warm, so that you can be cool. God wants you to be that way, but that's not the ultimate reason. Why would God, even in Deuteronomy, tell them that he gives them the power to get wealth? Wealth is having more than what it requires to meet your necessities. Mm-hmm. Wealth is the more. Why would God want you to have wealth? Because it's wealth that shares. Mm-hmm. If you have wealth, you share. And when you share, you're helping other people. Somebody help me. What is the great commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And the second one is just like it. The second commandment's just as great. Love your neighbor, right, too. Why did he say love your neighbor as yourself? If you're living in a state of poverty, do you want to love your neighbor in a state of poverty? I don't think that's what God was going after. God's saying, love your neighbor in a state of prosperity. Be generous. Help your neighbor. Help your friend. Help your people. Help them. Find a way. It doesn't mean that you have to go buy a set of tires for your neighbor just because they don't have good tires. Their tires keep going flat. But what it means is help your neighbor figure out a way that y'all together can find a way to get the tires for the car. God will give you the power to get wealth. He didn't say gain wealth. He said get wealth. I love that. Don't get on me, but here we go, man. This is 30 minutes right here all on its own. He didn't say gain wealth. He said get wealth. Find a way to earn the income. Find a way to earn the money to get out of that poverty state of mind. Get out of that. It doesn't mean a continual state. It just means get out of this state of poverty right now. I'm not going to be locked in that stronghold to where you live in the red all your life, where you owe. I get it. People get up in the early in the morning to go to work, so they work hard, work, just so they can pay what they owe. And it's just a routine cycle that goes more and more. Break that mindset of poverty off of your mind and say, God, give me that power to get wealth. I want to have the wealth so that I can meet my necessities, meet my needs. But at the same time, I want to bless the church. I want to bless God's kingdom. When he talked about in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. If you're going to seek first the kingdom of God, so many people have a misconception of what that means. It doesn't mean sit back with a pair of binoculars and see how many churches you can find off in the distance. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means start obeying what God's put down in your life. Mm-hmm. Obey it. This takes us all the way back to the 2 Corinthians, to the scripture that we're talking about, of pulling down the strongholds. Listen to this. Cast down the arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 6. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. This is why he said in Matthew 6:33, you must seek the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Put it into obedience. Make it line up to what you need to do. If you want to pull the stronghold of poverty down out of your life, you don't have to be struck in poverty just because your parents were stuck in poverty. You don't have to be stuck in poverty just because the society that's around you is stuck in poverty. I want to tell you, I praise God for the community that I live in, that when the major financial benefit of our community began to collapse and pull away, our community raised up and said, what else can we do? What else can we find? What else can we locate? How do we get out of this poverty mindset and get back into a rich mindset? And I'm not talking financial, I'm talking spiritual. Let's get back into that rich mindset of following after God, seeing those things. That king of poverty just wants to set in your life. If you're one of those people that just put your hip pockets in the couch and you're going to wait around for your ship to come in, are you going to sit back and hope that there's another big check in the mail someday? It's the temptation that overtakes you, that you'll just be tempted to point your finger and make accusations against everybody else that has a new pickup or that has a new car or that has a new house, and you want to look at them and you want to call them, oh, they got a lot of money, they're rich. I know a lot of people that got a lot of money and they ain't rich. Sorry, that was really poor grammar, but that's just the truth. That's just the way that it is. This king of poverty gets in your mind and he ruins you on the spiritual level as well as on the financial level. He is sticking into you and making it not work. God said, remember the Lord. He'll give you the power to get that wealth so it breaks away that poverty. Let's call that king of poverty out. Call him out. Bring him out. King of poverty, get out of that back mindset. You're not staying in there anymore. It's difficult to get you out, but I'm pulling you out with whatever it takes. Get out. Put your head on the ground. I put my foot on your neck. Now let's make the declaration together. King of poverty, I put my foot on your neck, and I will not be afraid of the financial barriers of my life. I will not be afraid of any of the spiritual barriers. I will not be afraid, nor will I be dismayed, but I will be strong and of good courage, for I know that this is what the Lord will do to all the enemies against whom I fight today. I'm not going to deal with it. Now, we've got one more king in there, and I have to ask you, I would do this if I was preaching it live. I'm going to do it right here on the air. What would you say if I said, we've got four of them out of there. We've dealt with four of those strongholds. Let's leave the fifth one in there. He's not going to cause any problems. No. You see, even in Joshua's day, he knew that if he left that one king in the back of that cave, that one king would come out, and what would he do? He would again go back, reestablish another army from anywhere that he could find a source, build another army, and he would come to attack Joshua again another day. And Joshua said, not going to tolerate it. Pull the last king out, get him out of there. And I've saved this last one because he sticks into people's brains so hard, and it is prevalent today. And what's really so tactful, because it's a military tact force that's taking place. This king knows what he's doing. This king knows how to barricade himself in the back of your mind to where you will justify your words and say, I don't have a problem with that. If you say, when I give you the name of this king, if you say, oh, I don't have a problem with that king, then you have a problem with this king. Are you ready? It's the king of pride.
I had a feeling.
This king of pride. He cannot stay in there anymore. This king of pride has got to come out. He affects every generation. You can see a little toddler bound with the king of pride. Pride is bound up in the heart of that little bitty kid. You can see him in elementary school, junior high school. You see it in college. You see it in young adults. You see it in young married couples. You see it in the older married couples. You see it in the lifelong married couples. You see it in the elderly couples. You see it on their deathbed. I see pride everywhere. Pride rules and rules and rules again. And the thing about pride is he's a sleeper too. He'll sit in the back of your brain and everything will be fine and you won't ever know that he's there until a certain circumstance that rises up and you begin to think, I can't do anything with the circumstance. You'll say this statement, that's just the way that I am. You'll have to deal with it. That's prideful. Sorry, but that's pride. Break it away from there. Yeah, but that doesn't. Yes, it does too. That's pride. And God doesn't like any form of pride in any way. In the book of Proverbs, he says pride is right next to witchcraft, and he doesn't like either one of them. But yet we seem to ignore it. What we do more often is we justify it. This is just the way that I am. This is just who I am. Well, this is just the way that it is. This is just the way it is. This is how I'm going to be, and I'm not going to change. You better. Not because of me. You're not hurting me at all. It's the pride that you're hurting yourself. It's that king of pride that's coming back into your head, and he's after to destroy you. He wants to destroy you. That last king in the back of that cave, if he could have got out and got away, he would have regenerated another army, and he would have come against Joshua on another day because he couldn't stand Joshua and he couldn't stand God's people. That king of pride was powerful. Let me give you scriptures. These, you know, again, you know this scripture, you've heard it. James chapter 4, verse 6. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I know this sounds terrible, but if you're really praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and God's not answering, not answering, not answering, not answering, then you need to sit back and say, let me just evaluate my life. Let me evaluate my mind for just a minute, because God resists the proud. And if you're going to God and you're praying and you're giving him your resume over and over again, it's prideful. Oh, man, somebody just said, what is he talking about? If you go to God and you say, but God, I read my Bible. But God, I go to church. Oh, God, I was nice to my neighbor. God, I was nice to my friend today, and I didn't need to be. God, all you're doing is giving God a resume. Do you think God doesn't know that stuff? God knows it, and he knows it very clearly. Don't let pride sink into your head. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God, here I am today before you, and you know me better than anybody else. And I'm a long ways from being perfect. And every one of these kings are stuck in my head, but that king of pride's got to go. God, I'm just a person. I'm not real good at anything, but I'm good at whatever you want me to do. God, I'm just here before you. And whatever I do, I want to do it for your glory. God, I'm just here before you. You know, it's that humble aspect that just says, God, help me today. God, touch me today. God, mark my path today. God, cross my path with someone else today. God, help me today. If you're not acknowledging God and asking God just to be on your side today, you know, I get it when you're not well and you're really not feeling good at all. And you go to God and say, but God, I read my Bible. Why am I sick today? I get that kind of prayer. I understand it. I pray it often. But it's not one that God's going to answer. God's going to answer it more when you say, God, in spite of my sickness today, I'm still going to worship you. In spite of what I'm going through, I'm still going to lift up you. You are my God. This king of pride has got to be identified and brought down. And one of our biggest problems is we don't know how to identify pride. Mm-hmm. But that king of pride, listen to what Proverbs says in Proverbs 16:18. One of my favorite scriptures. I love this. It says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. There's no doubt about that. When somebody gets a haughty spirit before them, they're going to fall. They're just not going to win. It just always turns out that way. Pride will always lift you up high in your attitude, high in your mindset, make you feel really good, make you feel proud of yourself. Pride will lift you up just to watch you fall every single time. That's what pride wants to do. Do you got time for a quick illustration? I want to share this with you. Give me just 1 minute more. Are you ready for this? Listen, I had a good friend of mine that had a really nice boat up on Grand Lake, and he invited me and my family up, and we all was there visiting with him, and he said, let's go for a boat ride. And I said, man, that's great. Let's go. And man, it was a nice boat. I was just thinking a nice little boat that maybe five or six of us could set in, you know, be comfortable. No, I think 15 people could have sat in this boat and been comfortable. It was a very nice boat, just smaller than a ship, you know, a nice boat, and beautiful. And we're just out on the big water of Grand Lake. We're out in the middle of it, and if you've ever been up there, it's a huge place, and it's just beautiful. And we were just kind of cruising along part of the shore banks, and he said, Kevin, do you like to water ski? And I said, oh yeah, man, I like anything that involves speed, fast. I'm involved with it. I have no fear when it comes to doing that. Race car, motorcycles, or whatever, skiing, here we go, let's do it. And so he's like, would you like to ski? And I was like, behind this boat? Yes, in a heartbeat. I don't even have to think about it. And he said, well, I got some new skis. And I said, new skis with new wax on them? This is incredible. And so, man, we got the skis out, got the life jacket out. I was like, I can't wait. And he said, but hold on a second before you get too ready. Let's go right over here to this place. And there's a place on Grand Lake that's called Glass Cove. And Glass Cove is just about as big as in Foss Lake. Oh, wow. It's huge. And it's really why they call it Glass Cove is because no waves are in there. It's just blockaded away from the wind, and it's just smooth, and it's huge. And I was like, this is going to be a blast. And so, man, we unloaded the skis, and I got them on, got the rope stretched out. You know how it goes, putt, 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 and then the rope gets a little tight, and then I go for it, man. You could hear that old boat. You could hear that full motor, whoa, you know, and I was just like, yes, and I just popped up, and I was having a blast, man, and I was just getting my ski legs back underneath me, and man, I was enjoying it, just really just scooping around side to side, just really peeling out and shooting out great big old rooster tails out behind me, man. I was having a blast, and my family was in the boat, and they were all like, more dad, more dad, more go, go, go. And so I, huge wake behind this boat with this huge motor on it, and I went, cool. So I'm going to jump the wake, man. And I jumped it the first time, did a little cross up. This is so cool. And I hit that about three or four times. And I was having a blast when all of a sudden I was like, faster, faster, faster. So I could hear that boat go from to a wham. And then I was like, oh, this is great. I watched that ski rope get real small. And I was just hanging on, man. My hair was flying behind me. I was just hanging on with everything. And then pretty soon I got used to it. I got comfortable behind it. Man, I relaxed, and I was just floating, and I was just going all over the place, and I was having a time. And I saw that wake, and I went, I can jump that wake. So I pulled that rope out tight, and I made my line just perfect, shot for that wake, and I hit that wake, and I went real high up in the air. I went real high up in the air. I was way up there, and I had one thought in my mind. And I know not everybody does it this way. My brain works. I'm way up in the air, and I thought, this is going to hurt. yeah, this I'm too far, this is going to hurt. And I was right, man. When I come down, boom, I hit that water. Man, I everything exploded. I lost my skis. I lost my life jacket. I lost my air.
Oh my God.
Man, and I was just laying there in the water. Ooh, I couldn't hardly breathe. And I was searching for a life jacket. I was searching for my skis, whatever, man. I was just trying to find it. And I could hear the boat going, put, 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 put. I knew they were making a circle. You all right? You all right? I'm like, yeah, sort of. I can breathe just a minute. I'll be all right. And I got to noticing that not only had I lost my breath, I couldn't breathe, and I'd lost my skis, and I'd lost my life jacket, and here comes the boat, and I realized that I'd lost my swimming trunks, too.
Oh.
This was not going to be fun. And that old boat puts right up next to me, and my wife is standing there, just right on the edge of the boat, and she looks at me, and she quotes this scripture to me. Haughty spirit always goes before a fall. And I thought, of all things. I said, just throw me a towel. And I got my air back, and they got me up in the boat, and I got everything rearranged back in there together. But it's just the thought, pride just builds you up and makes you think that you can do anything. And it'll take you so high, make you feel, I'm doing great. This is awesome. Just to watch you fall. I've oftentimes said that pride is the son of the devil. And his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's come to do. Now, if we leave that old king of pride stuck in the back of our mind, and we just think that he's not going to bother us anymore, and I don't have a problem with that. If you're the one that said, oh, no, I don't have a problem with pride, you have a problem with pride, you need to double check. We all do. We all fight it. It's one of his strongest weapons. Mm-hmm. Pride involves temptation. Pride involves accusation. Pride involves everything that the devil's doing to tear you down. And most of all, he involves deception. He wants to trick you and lie you into thinking that you're better than you are. Mm-hmm. Pride is a killer. Don't get caught up in it. Join with me. Strengthen yourself right now. Let's call King of Pride out. Let's put his head on the ground, and let's put him under our feet. King of Pride, get out here. Get on the ground. I put my feet on your neck. Come on, declare it with me. I will not be afraid, nor will I be dismayed, but I will be strong and of good courage. For thus the Lord will do to all the enemies against whom I fight today. Let me remind you, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Let me remind you, Colossians chapter 3. Verse 2, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Let me pray for you. Father God, I come to you today. And I ask you, God, to help each and every one of us to take the authority this morning and pull those strongholds down by your mighty power and not our own. Father God, we can call them out of the cave. We can identify them, and we can put them on the ground where they belong. But only you can destroy them. Only you can pull them down. Only you can eliminate them. God, I pray today that you help every individual that makes this decision with me to call those kings out of the cave and put our feet on the neck. We will not be afraid. We will not be dismayed, but we'll be strong and of good courage, for the Lord our God is with us to fight all the enemy that come against us. Father God, I pray your blessing and your favor on your people this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Before we sign off, would you like to share details about your church, service times, if you have any events?
Amen. Amen. First Assembly of God, 2701 South Randall. A lot of good things happening. We're busy throughout the summer. If you want to do something, you want to be a part of something, you don't have to be a part of it all, but you're welcome to be a part of some of it. The biggest event that we got going on right now is this weekend. There is a gun show out at the Civic Center.
Oh.
And the gun show out there, we, First Assembly of God, host the concession stand inside the gun show. And best burgers in town, best food, best prices, you can't beat it. All of the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds, go to send our kids to camp.
Oh, awesome. awesome.
That's what helps our kids go to camp and our younger kids. And so when you're buying a hamburger, you're helping a little one go to camp. And I tell you, the camp prices have gone crazy. You can also, if you come out there and you go to the gate and you have absolutely no interest in seeing the guns and stuff, and there's a lot of people that are that way, and I accept that, just look them at the door, say, I'm here to eat in the concession stand, and you can come around, eat in the concession stand, and it's on an honor system. We would appreciate it greatly. If you do that, then you go eat at the concession stand, then you leave. Don't walk around and look at the gun show stuff, and just be faithful to do that, and we accept that and respect that. And so that's our biggest thing that's going on right now, and just staying busy. Got everything going. Wednesday night services, 7 o'clock, studying Old Testament and any kind of student ministries full-blown on Wednesday night. Sunday mornings at 10:30, talking about the Holy Spirit right now, the power of the Holy Spirit. A lot of our services are in the Book of Acts on Sunday morning, so come on out. God bless.
You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my daughter, Josie Dobbs, and from Pastor Kevin Akins, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.